You know, we must be prepared to ask and accept his help if we're to ever reach goal in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah 2, 12 through 15. Then I arose in the night and a few men with me. I told no one what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent's well, to the refuge gate, viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down. Its gates were burned with fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. There was no room for the animals under me to pass. So I went up into the night. I went up in the night by the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. He was making his plan without the enemy noising his attention. He wanted to be ready when the time of action comes. You know something? We must be ready too. Last week, we had a vision casting time in the fellowship hall at 12:30. Had a sandwiches and we had drinks and we had fellowship, and then we started talking about what we wanted to do. Some people said, well, you know, we had a plan that was never done anything done with. Some said we need to put a building out on the vacant lot. Some people said we need to grow. Let me tell you something. What came out of that meeting was one word that this church wants and desires, and that word is action. They want something to happen. You know, yet we have committees in this church that have never met since October. My committee that I'm on is personnel, and that was one of the committees that had not met. We met last week for the first time, a week before last for the first time. There's a lot of things that we need to do. I'm urging every committee in this church to meet at least once a month. If you don't have an agenda item to meet for, meet and look for things that you can do. Every committee in this church, we have it and we can do it. You know, we need to look at the city of Galt's new general plan. Did you know there was one? There's a new general plan. Where they're going to be allowed to build, where they're not going to be allowed to build. We need to start looking for where our opportunities are going to come. We have been sitting by doing nothing for too long. You know, Nehemiah went to work. He went to work carrying out his plan by setting a task before each group where their interests lie. Or lay. Who do you think he had put up next to the temple that rebuild the wall? He put the priest. Who do you think he put over by the treasury where all the gold and all would be stored? The gold workers. Who do you think he put near the sheep's gate? Just stop and think about it. He went to read in Nehemiah 3. If you read through that chapter, you'll find that he was a smart man. He put people to work where their interests were. I think that we could take a lesson in church planning of personnel if we could look and determine where the priorities are of each person. The gates, by the way, were the main thing that needed to be put up. Because when the gates were shut, it would mean that the armies that would attack them in the Jerusalem would have to come across the broken down walls. And it would be more difficult. The first thing that went up was the gates. The gates were up before the enemy could attack. I tell you something. Pastor Hoff made a statement in that vision casting that we need to have a new committee, a committee looking forward, but also a building and grounds committee that was looking and working now. But I say it's every committee needs to be looking what can be done now and this new committee looking for what we need to do. This church does not need to stand still. Galt has grown 4 times the size since the last time I was here in this church as pastor. But this church has not grown 4 times the size. It has not kept up with Galt. But I want to read you a passage. In Nehemiah 4, the 16th, starting at the 16th verse, "So it was from that time on that half my servants worked in construction, while the other half helped the shears, the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Those who built on the walls and those who carried burdens loaded themselves, so that with one hand they worked at construction, with the other they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side, and the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, 'The work is great and extensive, and we are separated from one another on the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally on us. Our God will fight for us.' And we labored in the work, and half the men held spears from daylight until the stars appeared." Can you imagine handling stones like that? Can you not imagine working with a spear in your hand? Can you not imagine in the stifling heat of Jerusalem being mounted in full armor and standing ready for to repel the attack? You see, these people had a purpose. They wanted something to happen. These people that were defeated just a short time before became a people that was reaching out and ready to do battle. It can be the same in this church. Nehemiah kept his trumpeter with him and told the people, "When the trumpet blows, come prepared to fight, for the Lord is with you. I say to you, I hear the trumpet blowing for this church. Are you ready to be a witness? Are you willing to be a spiritual gift user? I'm asking you to be faithful. I'm asking you to love one another." Even with the opposition, they finished the walls and the gates. Nehemiah 6:15. "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days. Now, I'm sure that every one of you have seen a map of Jerusalem. That wall, all the way around the city, was completely rebuilt. The gates were set in place. Security was once again for the city. And it was done in 52 days. Now, some of the stones were as large. Now, this I got out of the encyclopedia, so this isn't my guess. Some of the stones were as large as 23 feet long, 6 foot wide, and 3 foot thick. Can you imagine handling a stone like that with a 25-pound sword strapped to your waist? Now, they didn't carry those little rapiers that you see the French using. They carried a big, wide sword, and it was about so long. It was like a sword that was meant by weight to strike through armor. They wore that sword. They lifted these big stones and they placed them. They couldn't go down to United Rental and rent one of their big cranes and set the stones in place. It had to be done by physical labor. Some people say today, "Well, it's just impossible to reach Galt. Those people in Galt, they just move at different speeds than what we do." I'm telling you something. It is impossible if we try to do it ourselves, but with God it is possible. We need to get up off of our duff and do something about it. Last week I was joking in a way, but I was serious in another way, when I called some people chicken in the first service for not getting up and coming when the invitation was given. But they came. They came to join the church, to join the fight, to give their heart to Jesus Christ. And in the second service, they came to join and to join us in the fight, to give their heart to Jesus. You see, that was one service. What happens after today? You go home and say, gee, I learned about Nehemiah today. Well, I'll file that away in the back cupboard. I won't need it for another 3 years. I don't want you to do that. I want you to be serious about what's happening today. But Nehemiah did not just come to build, but he came to lead the people in a commitment to their lives. Turn to Nehemiah 9:1. Now on the 24th day of the month, I hear the angel's wings turning, so I'll wait. It's what Adrian Rogers says, that when he hears Bible pages turning, it's the rustling of angel's wings. So listen to me now. Now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, in sackcloth, and with dust on their heads. Then those in an Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sin and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day, and another 1/4 they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. He stood before them, and he didn't say, Nehemiah is great, folks, bow down and worship me. No, he used God's word. He brought the people together. He had a 4-hour sermon. Don't complain when you don't get out right at 12, and you are going to get out in just a minute. But he brought them together for a 4-hour sermon, and they gave an invitation. And how long was the invitation? It was 4 hours. They responded, and they repented, and they turned to God. Perhaps today you're here and you need a time of beginning again. Some of you, for the first time, need to ask Jesus to come into your life. You need to love one another and remember how God loved Christ. He put him on a cross. He died. They put him into a tomb, and he was raised again to sit at the right hand of God to forgive my sin. God doesn't want much. He wants your heart. He wants your life dedicated to him. And then he wants to go before you and do the things that you're capable of doing. Too many people are defeated by self. What I do, I cannot do by myself. I can only do what I can do as long as God is with me. I think it is time to rise up and say, I don't want to stay this way. Today I will dedicate my life to Christ like Nehemiah did. Where's your commitment? It's time to put aside the past. The past is gone. It can't be redone. It can't be relearned. But the past is gone, and it is now time to move to the future. God is depending on every one of you. You know something? I don't bring a message like this for my own edification. I don't bring a message like this to make you think about Al Warren and what he said. I bring this message because I think that God wants to change this life of this church. I believe what we have accomplished in Liberia, what we have accomplished in Estonia, what we have accomplished in Nigeria and in Uganda, what Miss Parley is working on in Macedonia, can be done here in Galt if the people who are called by his name cry out with a loud voice and say, here am I, here am I. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand together first. If I've asked you this morning to come and be at the front, would you come now? Let's pray. Father, this is your people. God, this is your people, and this is what they are doing in their lives. You know if they're working or if they're standing stagnant. You know if they're doing things or just standing there. God, you know if they need Jesus in their heart. You know if they've accepted Jesus for a time, but maybe they need to come and be baptized. Father, you know what's in people's hearts. God, I ask you right now to touch hearts and touch lives. We ask it now in your name. Amen. We just keep your heads bowed. We're just going to play for a couple minutes. If God is asking you to come to rededicate your life, to give your heart to Jesus, to join the church here and be part of this church, would you now stand out of your seat and come? You're only going to stay for a little while. Anyone, right now. Anyone, right now. Saying she wants to rededicate her life. She wants to be more of what God wants her to be. As I said, I'm not going to hold you. Just for a moment, anyone else right now. And it says in the scriptures, and the blind shall lead them. Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for this one that comes rededicating her life. God, right now, bless these people as we go from this place. Love one another, my brethren, in the name of Christ. Amen.